You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 67. My name is Don, and with me today, as always, is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Not a whole lot. It's only 1 week longer than normal, but it feels extra long for some reason.
Yeah, it feels like a lot's happened in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, like a whole extra third of normal stuff.
Like extra 7 days.
Yep.
Nifty LED, Jeff.
I know.
NiftyLED.com. They have their new and improved website is fully operational. They've been promoting the heck out of it on Facebook and whatnot. So go check it out, NiftyLED.com. And don't forget, you get free shipping over $100, $5 flat rate shipping under $100, French fry trays, increased selection of items, and they've even knocked down prices on a couple of, on quite a few items, I think, right? Let me see if I can pull up their press release slash email. Or not. where did I see that? I know I saw it somewhere. Was it on Facebook?
The new website's promo?
Yeah.
They posted it on Pinside.
Do you have it handy?
Let me take a look. See, I think the threads dropped out, but I can find it.
They had a coupon code on Facebook. That's what I was thinking of.
Sorry, Nifty guys and fans of Nifty guys, but I will pull that up.
Our typical half-assed Nifty read. That's okay. Well, check it out. Get on Nifty LED.
I found it. Oh. New website and lower prices. Doesn't mean that I had it immediately, but okay, it's just Nifty50 is the coupon code. No spaces, Nifty50.
50 or the word 50?
The word 50. Spell out NIFTYFIFTY.
Okay, try that out.
Yep.
To take advantage of some new low prices. They also, if you sign up for their newsletter subscriber list on their website, you'll get breaking news whenever they introduce new products. They'll even... they mentioned dropping promo codes in there. So go to niftyled.com and sign up for the latest, hottest Nifty LED news, right?
Only the hottest.
Read it before HuffPo gets a hold of it.
Yeah. Or the TMZ take.
Yep. I saw Nate on that show being mocked by the guy with the hair.
The guy with the hair?
Yeah. What's his name? Brandon? Who's the TMZ guy?
I don't know. I know about TMZ is it exists, and every once in a while, they have a sports thing that interests me, and I will click over and read it, and then immediately get out of there.
I went there once when the Coney 2012 guy got caught beating off on a street corner.
Yeah, that might have been another time that I went to TMZ.
Ah, good topical talk on the Pinball Podcast. Is Coney running for re-election 2016?
I think he is.
Well,
I think he is.
Okay.
He had that strong 2012 unprecedented run.
I know, man. And his campaign was everywhere.
I think that he's got a good shot in 2016.
Cool. Well, probably not cool. I think he's like a warmonger.
Oh, right. Warlord.
Yeah, not cool. Warlord, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nifty LED, check him out. Thank you. And so I went to Expo last week.
Oh wait,
and I have
the coupon code very little to talk has expired.
About. Just go to Nifty LED, all right, everybody, please.
Yeah, just go there.
Tell them we sent you. Buy a bunch of stuff. Good.
Good.
When are they gonna drop us? I thought for sure.
It's one of those like abusive relationships they for some reason can't escape from.
Yeah, we don't have any dirt on them. They could break it whenever they want. We don't really have any backup sponsors, but that's all right. What have you been doing in pinball, Jeff?
Well, I mentioned that I got the Elvira and the Party Monsters.
You did.
I moved that downstairs, so it's now in pin row number 2.
So you're not going to go with the little plan that you had mentioned?
Oh, I've got time. So I'll
drag it back upstairs.
Yeah, I've got time. So I went and I was all set to take the Mylar off because it was a little bubbly in the middle, especially. But man, it just looks like it's so attached to that paint that it just really does not want to come off. So I scared myself a little bit. I was just going to go the Goo Gone and Patience route, but if I end up taking off, I think I'm going to have to freeze it. It's just, it's not lifting at all around the edges. It's very, very solid. I'm just afraid I'll lose too much paint at this point. So I've been playing it. It's fun. So
yeah, that's scary though.
I don't know. Like Mylar is just, it's just the hardest call to make, I think, unless it's severely affecting play. I almost feel like just deal with it and love the game as it is. There's no like visible wear of in other areas of the game, so I feel like I will introduce issues that maybe didn't need to exist for a mild improvement in play. But I don't know.
I'd let it go. Just enjoy playing it.
I may try and see if I can stick it back down, but I'm not gonna do the like injecting glue route or anything like that.
Yeah, that sounds risky as well. I've tried the freeze method and it works great, but then you got to get the adhesive off.
Yeah.
That's probably. I tried the organic peanut butter route and I don't believe in that route. It did not work well for me.
So with the freeze, because I've never had to do the freeze, isn't that the best way for making sure you're going to save the paint?
Yeah, I didn't get any paint lifting when I did the freeze method. The freeze method basically is,
it just,
for listeners who don't know, you take a can of compressed air, you hold it upside down, and you spray it onto the Mylar, and it sprays out like a freeze spray.
Yeah.
And then the Mylar just like shrinks up and breaks off, basically. It comes off in one big piece pretty smoothly, but the adhesive stays on the playfield. So then you got to do something else, get the adhesive off.
Yeah, and that's the Goo Gone and Time with razor blades and
credit cards and lots of fun there.
You know what actually works really well is a lot of times when you buy a new razor blade holder, not the straight box cutter style, but just the little, I don't know how to explain it, but it's barely more larger than the razor blade itself. It's just a handle.
Yeah, a little handle.
A lot of times it comes with like a safety one just to hold it, and it's basically a plastic razor blade. That works pretty well.
That's not bad. I wonder if those plastic like bowl scrapers you get at kitchen stores would work. It's like a little square.
Yeah.
And it's like a spatula without the stick. I don't know. But not as soft as a spatula, obviously.
Yeah. So essentially what you're doing is like you said, after you peel it off, you have a big gummy mess of adhesive afterwards with the Goo Gone, and it's basically up to you how you want to try and get it off. No way is, it's never fun and it's time consuming. Naphtha works pretty well. Lighter fluid. But
yeah, you gotta be careful with the wood and the paint. So you don't just want to throw anything at it. But yeah, there's a lot of theories and research out there. You can Google that.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, just have fun with it for now. Good.
Yep.
Good, Jeff. Anything else exciting going on over there?
We did the pinball party on Friday.
Another one.
Yeah, pinball / Rock Band. We won't worry too much about Rock Band, but it was a Halloween party as well, so you know, people dressed up as zebras and tigers and cops and robbers and all sorts of fun stuff. And we had someone who had never ever played pinball before, so he was introduced to pinball and really enjoyed it, so that was kind of cool. It's always fun when someone gets their first exposure to it. So
an adult?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes yeah, people just
spread it around.
They let the best part of life pass them by. So
a little bit of the fabric of life, right?
Yes. Special one lit.
As Gary Stern says. Yes.
So anyway, that was cool. But no, nothing super crazy.
No embarrassing bets were made.
I made no bets.
Good.
So I can't speak for others, but anyway. Yeah, no, it was just kind of your standard get a bunch of people, play a bunch of stuff, everybody go home late type of thing. But Elvira was in place in time, so that was good.
Very nice.
I think that's it for me.
I joined the KLOV League this season, and I've been trying to be faithful doing it, and I've done it every week, just playing Breakshot over and over, which you get bonus points if you play different machines, but I just wanted to play Breakshot. And except for last week at Expo, I didn't take the time, I didn't remember to play a game that weekend, so I'm doing pretty bad. I have 12 points, I think first place has 27 points, but it's a fun league.
Yeah.
So I spent the last 2 weeks in Ohio visiting my in-laws, and I successfully made it out without impregnating my sister or getting addicted to heroin, which seems to be the big thing out there right now.
So you, successful trip overall.
Yes.
Good job.
I feel that it was. I should say rural Ohio. Not all Ohio is as awful as the area I was in. but yeah, it was super boring. There was no internet, which sounds like a very whiny first world problem, but you're listening to a podcast right now, so don't act like you don't have some dependence on the internet. Yes?
Yes.
You people would understand having literally no internet. If I walked out to the barn, I could get E. Well, I don't know what E is as far as on my phone. Not LTE, not 4G, but E.
Edge,
okay. Awful. It took about 5 minutes just to even load in my email. Basically unfunctional. So, anyway, so we went out there. I decided to, since we were spending 12 days with her 85-year-old grandparents on this farm, with our kids, I decided to rent a second car and drive to Expo, which was about 5.5 hours away from Cincinnati. Across the whole state of Indiana. So I will talk a little bit about that adventure.
You got to know America's
I wanted to give... Yes. Yeah. Indiana was okay. Everyone there smokes. I think I saw 100% smoker qualifications, numbering, censusing. Anyway, I wanted to give a special shout out. Thanks to Chuck Wirt. I had emailed him. I saw him pop up on Pinside with some sort of Cincinnati pinball thread. I searched before we left to see if there's any good arcades in the area. And he sent me like 5 or 6 places. All of them were on the opposite side of town from where we were staying, except one. This place called Jungle Jim's.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like a Trader Joe's mixed with Disneyland, I guess.
Okay. Well.
It's like if you put 3 Costcos together, but it didn't sell anything bulk. It was just a grocery store.
Okay.
It's the kind of place that sells green tea Kit Kats.
Donald Duck meat.
Probably, yeah. They have like giant cars hanging from the ceiling. I think there was a tank in there or a fire engine. There's a tramway outside of it, or not a tram, a monorail. Giant animals everywhere. It was definitely an experience. It was really, really cool.
That sounds crazy.
But it was very crazy, but it was pretty awesome. They had an area that was built to look like an airplane, like an old Delta airplane. It had airplane seats everywhere and a bar, and they had 4 pinball machines in there in that bar. So they had a Walking Dead, a New Kiss, Striker Extreme, and a South Park. So I played 3 of the 4. Can you guess which one I didn't try?
You did not try South Park.
That is accurate. I did not try the South Park. The South Park was filthy. The 2 new Sterns both looked nice and new. And the Striker Extreme was actually really clean, but the DMD was like only half functional. But it's still played pretty well. Either way, it was really cool to see them there. And when I got up to the register, the lady... I was like, oh, where are you from? Whatever. So I was telling her I wasn't from the area. Well, what brought you in here? And I said, I actually came to play pinball. And she's like, we have pinball machines? The place is so big. Yeah. It was no surprise that she did not know.
You're like, is this your first day? Yeah, I worked here about 7 years.
Yeah, no. Yes, she had actually. Yeah, very nice lady. But anyway, thanks Chuck Wirt for the heads up. That was definitely worth a trip. I thought about that Jungle Gyms the entire time because they had so much cool stuff in there. So anyway, so I went to Expo. The thing is with Expo, I got there Thursday, but it's $25 a day and it resets at 9 a.m. But it opens at, like, the play area opened at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So I got there, got settled, but at 6 p.m., if I paid the $25 to play overnight, which I was already tired, I don't know, it didn't feel worth it to me. But that night was the Full Throttle, or the Highway Pinball, like, Full Throttle release party. And they had made a post about it, just email us to get an invitation to get on the list or whatever. So I emailed them, I said I wanted to go, and they emailed me back, okay, you're in. So I went, and nobody checked for IDs or anything. We just walked right in. It was pretty packed in there. I think if they had stuck to the list, it would have been maybe a little more fun, but it was still pretty fun. They had plenty of beer. The waitresses were handing out beer left and right, but they would bring out like a thing of appetizers. They just drop it on a random table and have everybody swamp them. So it was not like a good meal setting, but they did have three Full Throttle machines there.
That's cool.
And they were just running straight up. If you think you have a high score, they cleared out the high scores. So, you know, raise your hand. They would mark you down and go from there. But like, you know, Robert Gagnon was there, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to stand a chance. I just wanted to play it and see what the party was like. But either way, I went to the party for a couple hours, so then that's a couple more hours I wouldn't be playing pinball. So I did not go into Expo Thursday night. But Full Throttle is pretty awesome. I did not know it was a wide body game.
Oh, I didn't know either. That's weird. I'm surprised I didn't pick up on that before.
Yeah. Even standing next to it, I didn't realize it until I stood in front of it. And I think I saw our listener Eric and his wife Jess, who we've talked about on the show in the past, who took your U2 CD and returned it to me at Expo.
It found its way home.
It did. It was very cool that they brought that. But yeah, Eric mentioned it was a wide body. We played in a foursome together. Yeah, it plays great. Like, the shots feel really good. The flow felt really good. It does some really creative loops, like different moves with the ball and different diversions. They have the kind of the iPad screen, the LCD screen that's in the playfield is also in the back box. And they just revealed a mod for it, which would make the whole back glass into a monitor as well. And it would just emulate that same screen.
Pretty intense stuff.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. They had one machine set up with that, and then the other two just had regular back glasses. But I really enjoyed it. I didn't know what I was doing, but I played it some more in the actual Expo and got a better grip on it. But really cool game. The skill shot's actually even kind of cool. You like tap the flipper button to rev up the engine and then hit the plunger when the odometer or speedometer, tachometer is in the sweet spot.
The odometer of some sort.
Some odometer. You can see when it's in the sweet spot, you launch the ball and that's your skill shot, which is pretty easy to do, but it was kind of cool.
Sounds cool.
Pretty fun. So that was Thursday. I did not pay to go to Expo Thursday. So then Friday, the game room opened at 1, but the Pinball Life Party was from noon to 6, and it was about an hour outside of town.
And that sounded pretty cool to me.
Yeah, it's. I got there about 12:30, and it was already packed. Like, you could barely walk around in there packed. They probably had 50 machines or so, 60 machines. Right by the front door, they had a Game of Thrones Pro, and they did have a Big Lebowski, and they had two America's Most Haunteds. I played one of them. I did not play the other. They had a Lord of the Rings Whitewood, an Earthshaker running some early code. They had a Vacation America, which I had seen before but never played, and it was okay. It felt like a bigger version of a Zizzle. Like, it felt like a toy or cheap somehow.
Big toy,
yeah. I met Joe Zinkus there for the first time, and he was a great guy. We walked around, we played, I think, three or four games together, and checked out the little VIP lounge, which was really cool. they had an old Kiss and a Ted Nugent set up with like speakers, Marshall amp speakers, blasting their music on it, which is pretty cool. I met his wife as well, and Mike Shevchek from DK Pinball was up there. And the guy that did, I can't remember his name, but the guy that did the Data East Star Wars code and the Jurassic Park code. He was a nice guy, but anyway, he was up there. Anyway, really riveting story. They did have this setup, the Lion Man. Have you seen that? The Lion Man game?
Is that the one where you're hanging?
Yeah. The game itself is hanging, and you're hanging as well. You're just suspended in like this sling. And it's an Iron Man that they have redone with all sorts of Lion Man art. And I ran into Ryan Claytor, and another nice guy that I did not spend near enough time with. I didn't spend enough time with anybody there, basically, as you will soon find out. But he convinced me to try it out, and he was going crazy. He was like doing spins and flips and all sorts of stuff in the sling. I just sat there, and it was really weird because the game was suspended, so when you nudge it, you can move the whole table. So it was actually really easy to keep the ball from draining. So if the ball went over there, you just move the whole table out of the way, and then the ball's boom right in front of the flippers again.
So was it Iron Man? Was that the game?
Yeah, it was Iron Man. They just taped a bunch of pictures of lions to it.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty funny. And somebody changed the logo on the using pinball browser so that instead of saying Stern Pinball, it said Lion Man Pinball, which is pretty cool. It was fun. I'm glad Ryan talked me into doing it. They also had, you know those tunnels you walk through at a haunted house that's like a vertigo tunnel? It's a spinning tunnel.
Yes, I hate those.
Makes you feel like you're falling over. Yeah, they had one of those with an Orbiter 1 inside, but at some point the belt broke, and I didn't want to throw up all over anyway, so I did not try that one.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, I don't like those at all. There's a ride at Universal Studios that's the Avalanche. Well, it's the tour, and they go through it, and they simulate the Avalanche. Yeah. Instant car sickness.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Oh, that's brutal.
They still have that?
I don't know.
I remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was probably like 12, 13 when I went to that.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. That was like my favorite amusement park ride for years. The Jaws thing, the Battlestar Galactica thing, Backdraft, King Kong.
Yeah, yeah. And save the clock tower.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Anyway, I didn't try it. I'm trying to think what other weird games they had there. There was something else I wanted to talk about. Huh. Obviously, I didn't take any notes. I ran into Tommy Skinner from This Flippin' Podcast, and we talked for a little bit. But anyway, that was fun. But it also went till 6 p.m., and then at 9 p.m., there was a Stern Game of Thrones launch party. So I figured, well, I might as well not pay to go to Expo Friday either, because I'm going to be at this other party, and then I'm going to want to go to bed, too. So, if you're keeping track, I've been at Expo for 2 days, have still not purchased admission.
Okay.
Because there's just other stuff going on. Plus, it's $25 a day just to get in to the free play area. Then it's another $60 a day to see the seminars. And then the banquet's another $50. The Stern tour was the morning that I was driving, so I wouldn't have seen it anyway. But that was another $50, which, by the way, the Stern tour is free if you schedule it ahead of time. Anytime in the year. So I don't know why it costs $50 a person. Okay. So I went to the Stern party, which they were unveiling Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones LE, which they had one of them in there, and there was a massive crowd around it. There was no line, just like a mass of people. When I walked in, Jack Danger was playing it. I thought he was just hosting, but he was actually playing it at the time. And Robert Gagnon was standing in front of me. And I was like, well, hell, I'm going to be standing here forever. Which, yeah, it turns out he put up like a 1.5 billion point game.
He's good at the game of pinball.
He's very good. Meanwhile, the actual event was only scheduled to be 2 hours long. And he must have played for at least a half hour. I don't know. So I waited in line to play Mustang. And I played one game of Mustang and left. They did not have a monitor set up with the Twitch stream, so we couldn't even see what people were seeing at home.
Oh, it seems like it was just if they had, mostly you picking your nose in the background. I saw that.
Probably, yeah. you could look over Jack's shoulder and see his laptop if you wanted, but that was the best view you would see of the LE unless you're actually playing it. They did have four of the pros there, but it was a $5 tournament being run by the Sharp Brothers and also a super long line. So, not for me. I had played one game. I waited about a half hour to play it at the Pinball Life thing. So I had played it once, and I really, really enjoyed it. I played it a couple times over the weekend because they had four more pros inside the expo room, which I did purchase my pass and go on Saturday. So I went for about an hour in the morning, like 9 in the morning. And... yeah, Game of Thrones Pro, I think it's really, really fun. Like, the shots are really fun. Looking at it, I thought it looked kind of boring and kind of samey, but it plays great. It sounds great. They had a shaker motor in it that felt really good. The dragon toy looks cool, and he moves around a little bit. The gold system is actually kind of cool. You do earn gold separately from your points, and you use the gold to kind of buy power-ups. Like, I think it was it ball saves, extra balls, bonus multiplier, stuff like that, if I remember right. It's very interesting. I meant to brush up on the rules today, but I didn't do it. Either way, it felt great. But they did not put the LE in the expo room, in the vendor room. So they just took it back to the factory, I guess. So if you didn't make it in that little two-hour window when everybody else was playing... you didn't get to play it.
That's a bummer.
That was a bummer. Or even see it. Like, I didn't even... I was probably 6 feet away from it, but there was three people in front of me. It does have a really cool topper. The LE topper is pretty sweet. It has, colored LEDs for each of the families on these little shields. And then it has a dragon that they said was animated. I didn't see it move when I was watching, but it still looked really cool. I don't know who they got designing their toppers lately, but all three of them have been really cool.
Yeah.
The Kiss and the Walking Dead as well.
Yeah, they've been nice. They're like flashy but classy.
Yeah, they don't look tacky at all. I don't know. They're very expensive. They're $400, but they do look pretty sweet. Anyway, if you end up with a Game of Thrones Pro, I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's a really fun shooter. Nice. I'd put it ahead of everything since Metallica, really. Star Trek's a fun shooter. Mustang's fun, but yeah, it's cool. There's no, even like if you make it only halfway up a ramp, you're not getting any straight down the middle drains. All the shots fed the flippers really nice and smooth, which seems to be rare on Sterns from the factory anyway. Anyway, I could not be happier.
I'm only disappointed that you didn't slip away from the tour and go find all the secrets.
Right. Yeah.
That would make Stern very happy with the show.
I'm sure. I have not found the secrets out myself. Nate kind of mentioned, what did he mention? Oh, he talked about how Jody gave him a private tour and he saw some stuff in his office or something. But we're not going to talk about that right now. Do you want me to just keep going on expo stuff?
Yeah. Let's
okay.
Go through
this. Will be the bulk of the show. all right. So let me see what else is there. Across from the four Game of Thrones, which were in the very back of the room, they had a fast pinball area, and they had the Peanuts game, which. It basically, it's unfinished, but some of the art is done. It looked kind of cool. They had the Nightmare Before Christmas game. And the guy who built it, I think his name is Mark. I talked to him for maybe 15 minutes. Really nice guy. The game actually plays pretty well. It's pretty fun. There's rules and whatnot. The LCD screen works, but it's just really basic. Just giving you points and stuff. Not all the shots work yet, but...
you just play Linus in the
but most
seat
of them do.
All the time?
No. This is Nightmare
Before Christmas. Oh, Nightmare. Okay.
Sorry.
Does that play Linus and Lucy?
Charlie Brown one didn't even have ramps. Yeah, it has Linus and Lucy. No, it has. He talked about what toys are going to go where. On the game, it's a white wood with just blank plastics. So there's only one toy in it, this little guy whose head spins around. But it's pretty cool. And there's like a bathtub lock. There's two diverters to get the ball back into the shooter lane. Kind of like Star Trek or Wizard of Oz. You shoot behind it, and then it can either go into a hidden scoop, or it can bypass both of them and go back into the shooter lane. A really cool little diversion that I haven't seen in any other games.
It's cool.
Just as he explained more and more what he wants to do with the game, I was like, man, this is going to be awesome when it's finished. It sounds like he's only going to make one because of Disney licensing.
Yeah, I bet.
He doesn't really want to get into all that. And I guess the guy that made the cabinet for him cut it to the wrong size.
Whoops.
So it's actually a quarter inch bigger than a wide body. So he had to get custom glass.
Oh, man.
The play field is a little bit bigger. I can't remember if it was a quarter inch or an inch and a quarter, but I think it was a quarter inch.
The Nightmare Before Christmas?
I couldn't tell. Yeah. It was a quarter inch because he used a standard wide body lockdown bar, and he just bent the edges out, and it just fit on there. Anyway, it's really promising. He's got like an attract mode programmed, and he said he's only been working on it for 5 months.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
That's insane. I know. He's just done a beautiful job with it. They have that tattoo pin next to him, but it was never on when I was there. And I can't remember what other game they had back there. A lot of times the playfields are up, so I didn't even know the Peanuts one was there until I was about to walk out because the playfield was up. I played Wrath of Olympus, which was really, really fun. That shoots really well, better than the visual pinball version or the future pinball version. I think the guy that did the dots programming was there when I was playing it, and he was kind of explaining what different shots did what. And it was just a really satisfying game. There's all these different skill shots, and I was able to hit, I think, two of the three skill shots in my game that I played. It looks great, and you can tell it's not done, but it feels like it could ship. Kind of like a Stern game ships with kind of rudimentary code.
Beta code.
It felt like even a little bit past that. So if you received it, you wouldn't be disappointed, but there's room to grow. And it was super shiny. Like, they like clear coated the hell out of that thing. Even the apron was shiny. Let's see. Next to that, they had the Buffy game, which I started to play it because I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And it's a Swords of Fury kind of like a re-theme playfield. And it looks great. Like, everything about it looks top-notch, like a full production game. But I was choosing my different skill shot, and the game kicked back to a Windows menu.
You broke it.
So they had been working on adding some lighting code, and I guess it had some bugs in it. Then I went back, and these people were finished, and one of the kids was entering his initials, and it kicked it out to the code, so I couldn't play it then. And then the third time I went, like, George Gomez and like an entourage were standing around playing it, so I didn't want to wait forever.
Entourage pinball?
Buffy the Vampire, George Gomez entourage. Yes.
Is it Buffy the Vampire Slayer Sarah Michelle Gellar style?
Yes.
Okay.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. The way it should be.
It's the Joss Whedon one.
Yes. Well, I like the Chrissy Swanson one too, but it looks awesome. But I did not get to play it. And right next to that was the Kugler family. You know what I'm talking about? The Kugler family pinball. Have you seen that?
Somehow I have not, or I'm just not remembering it.
I've seen it around for a couple of years, but I've never seen it in person. It's just some guy and his family made a pinball, or there's a pinball machine made out of them. And I think that Kugler guy was playing Game of Thrones in front of me at Pinball Life. I recognized the guy, but I didn't know it at the time. I didn't talk to him ahead of time. Anyway, it uses the same ramp as Adam's family, but it's like the daughter, you take her to the mall or something, if you start his mode, the dad's mode, you can like play football and you're running for touchdowns. The mom's mode, she has to like get the mail or something. There's like a little animated mailbox toy on there. I don't know. It's pretty cool for like just some dude's family as the theme, but it's pretty rough around the edges. Like it's not super nice parts or nice build or anything. It's more than like cardboard, but not quite custom from the ground up, if that makes sense. And like the whole cabinet is just pictures of his family. I don't know. It's a really cool keepsake for that guy.
Yeah, it's that's a
and
very.
And I'm glad they brought it so that I could play it. But it's not anything that's going to go into production. Around the corner from that, they had Big Lebowski, and they added a lot more code. The carpet actually rolls now, although it like doesn't do anything really once you score it. It just the carpet rolls back. You knock the ball in, and it's like, oh, here's 200,000 points. It's like, okay, that's cool. But you can fight against people. Like you can play against Donnie and the dude and the Jesus. I think everybody played against Donnie, including myself, because of course, why wouldn't you? And when you play against them, you're using the lower playfield bowling alley. And like he bowls a 7, so you just have to knock down more than 7 pins basically to beat him. It's pretty cool. They took out the music, the soundtrack. That was kind of the big news, is that they're not going to be able to use the soundtrack from the film in the way that everyone had hoped. And they made kind of like a knockoff soundtrack.
Yeah, sound alike.
But I didn't even really notice. It fits.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard it's really fitting.
Yeah, it's fine. There was a switch problem in the scoop. Like the game does not have a ball search, so every time the ball go in the scoop, you just would sit there till somebody came over and knocked it out or got it out of there.
They might want to add that.
Seems like it's something they could have fixed early on, especially if it was a problem all weekend, but I don't know. And around the corner from that, they had Bride of Pinbot 2.0.
Yes.
Man, it is good.
Don't tell me that.
Believe the hype. It's really good. Even the video mode is good. Like the video mode is, I wanted to play more of the video mode. Like if they had just released that as an app, I'd pay $1 for it. I guess the corn programmed the video mode, and it's like a maze that's constantly moving. So you have to keep moving along with the maze so you don't fall off the track, basically. It's really cool. It is very fun. But yeah, it adds so much animation, rules. It does totally change that game.
That's cool. Yeah.
What is it, $1,200 or something?
Yeah, it's basically the cost of a Bride of Pinbot.
Yeah.
So I guess I could sell my Bride of Pinbot and get one.
That'd be a pretty sweet Christmas gift. I would say put that on your list because it's pretty awesome.
I'll just put just that then.
Just that, right, for a couple of years worth of Christmas lists.
Yeah.
What else did I see there? I think I saw a Brooks and Dunn Whitewood. It was not on, and it didn't say anything, but it said Metal Rodeo on it, and it had a jukebox, and I'm pretty sure Metal Rodeo was in that Brooks and Dunn game. No? Okay.
I saw the picture. I just didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was next to Aaron Spelling. Aaron Spelling actually had a price tag on it. It looked like a couple of the rare games. Mike, Pesak? Pesak. He was selling a couple of them. I think Aaron Spelling was $7,000, but they only made, what, like two or three of them? Four of them?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought it was just one or two, but I don't know.
It's just a couple. I know it's more than one, but I don't know how many. They had a Vernie's World, which everyone would say Vern's World, Jules Verne, right? But the game audio says Vernie's World. I don't know why, but I noticed that right away. It's kind of like a crappy layout.
Jules Verne, that was his cousin.
Jules Verne, yes. It looks cool, and the toys are cool. Like the way the shots are diverted around is really neat. But it's just a lot of the shots were dogs. Like if you miss a shot, you're looking at a drain. Even shots that like go into the pops, they come out and dribble right to the drain. I don't think it was the way it was set up either. It just didn't feel good. I think that was 6,000 or maybe 7,000. I don't remember. They had two Jolly Parks. And one of them was off, and I don't remember the price on the other one. Am I forgetting any major stuff? There was always a line for Hobbit, but I didn't care that much. So I paid my $25. I played from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the morning, and then I ended up going to the art museum downtown.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be the best museum in the world. It was voted by some tourism agency as the best museum in the world. Anyway, so I went down there for the afternoon, and it was pretty awesome. They have, like, it's weird seeing all these pieces of art that you see 1,000 times. You've seen these works so many times, they feel generic. So when you see them in person, it just feels like, yeah, I know, I've seen it 1,000 times. Like, they had American Gothic and that kid getting a bath and that diner at night, you know?
Yeah.
People standing around in the diner. Yeah, they had that. I mean, they had a bunch of stuff.
So basically all of the art that gets parodied and
yes
has like
with like the Simpsons,
yeah, or Simpsons, yeah, or Ghostbusters, or
yeah if you take every calendar at the mall off the little kiosk, yeah, that's what they had there.
Oh, there's a version of the dogs at the diner at night. Okay.
Probably that museum has so many wings and levels. I only saw a small part of it in the 3 hours I was there or whatever. So that was most of my day not playing pinball. I went and saw Brian Posehn at a little club in Chicago called Beat Kitchen. He did an early show, and I'm a big fan of his. So it was actually, that was probably my highlight of the entire 2 week trip, as I just laughed my ass off for like 90 minutes straight. He was really good. His opener was really good. There was a heckler right in the front, and almost the whole first hour of the show was just yelling at this heckler who just wouldn't shut up. It was great.
Yeah, I bet. There's always the opportunity. I mean, there's always a chance that it's going to be fantastic what happens with the heckler. But there's also the chance that it goes very, very wrong. Like, ask Michael Richards about that.
Yes. It was just a bunch of yelling for her to shut up and
yeah,
the whole crowd moaning. There was probably 120 people there, so it was a great show. It was such a cool little venue, too. He played here at the casino, like a much bigger venue in Albuquerque than he played in Chicago, which is odd, but whatever. Okay, so that was an early show. It was over, I'd say, by 10. So I got back to the hotel. I still had my $25 pass. I get back to the hotel, and they're doing the friggin' banquet, so everything's closed. So I went to the banquet in 2010, and it's like you pay $50 for cafeteria food. I wasn't going to do it again. So I just sat there and waited until the banquet was over. And then they decided we're going to wait until 11 to let everybody in. So we waited a little bit longer, and then I went in, and by then I just didn't care anymore. I played Pinball Circus. I forgot about that.
Original or new?
No, the new version.
Okay.
The white wood. It cool. It's different because they added in the snake flipper, like the center post, movable center post flipper thing. So the flippers are in different positions than they are at the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, they're more traditional, kind of closer, not like really askew like they are on the one at the Pinball Hall of Fame. I personally don't think it plays very good. We always say like that's a game you got to go play when you get a chance, but you don't really ever want to own one.
Whoop.
I still kind of feel that way. The snake is janky as hell. Like, he only moves, I don't know, a half inch or something, so like your ball has to be right on him to really even do anything. And even then, like, his snake head is shaped like a triangle, so it's not like you're really like getting an accurate shot out of him.
Is it a python?
It probably is a python, yeah. It is shaped like a python. And you use a button, like, it's shaped like an arcade cabinet, and I guess where the player 2 button would be, that's your snake flipper button.
Okay.
So you can kind of hit it with your thumb. And it seems like timeout, you can't just like whack on it like a normal flipper as much as you want. You can like use it, then it has to recharge or something. It just didn't feel good, in my opinion. And I don't know if it's like that'll come with code later. Like, it's definitely not finished, but there's a lot there. Conceivably, someone probably could make it to the top of the game. I just didn't like the way it played, so I don't want to be that guy, but it's an awesome project. I hope it's a great earner on location. I just, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, it's always been like the uncollectible super collector item, and so
yeah,
it'll open that up for people.
It's a white elephant.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did go into the free play room while I was waiting, and it just felt kind of ratty. I don't know. It's cool that people brought their games, and I didn't bring a game, so I'm an asshole or whatever, I know. But, I don't know. Like, when I went in there, it was a bunch of teenagers kind of just dicking around, and it's just, there was nothing compelling. There's no compelling reason to be in there. It's games you see all the time. And there wasn't that many. There was maybe 80 games, but 15 or 20 of them were turned off. And it felt dirty, like there's trash all over. I don't know. I'm not trying to be down on it, but it wasn't, like, that was not worth $25 to me. The, you know, the vendor room is.
Yeah.
But the vendor room, and you know, it was only open at weird hours or whatever. I guess it wasn't even open Saturday night from 5 till 11. I don't know. And then it was only open till midnight, maybe? I only stayed for like a half hour that night because I just didn't care. The format is so poor, I just stopped caring.
It beat you down, and Don.
It beat me down. I have social anxiety to an extent where I'm just not very interesting or talkative, as listeners of this show can tell. I don't know. I don't like go out of my way to talk to people. Nothing against anybody. I'm not like above it. I feel awkward doing that. So it wasn't like I was going to go find buddies to hang out with. I actually literally never saw the measles.
Really?
They were there. They were there the whole time, but when they weren't there early in the morning and they weren't there late at night. Yeah, which is weird. So that was Saturday. I didn't bother paying on Sunday because, you know, everybody's breaking down. I don't know. I ended up buying some prints. There's this guy in Canada who does, I think it's pinballart.com, and I really like his prints, but shipping's like $25. So he had the prints there for $25, you know, no shipping, obviously. So I did buy a couple, but when I went back that night, his whole booth was gone. He had broken it all down. So it just felt like the whole thing was kind of like that. Stuff you see all the time or stuff that was gone whenever I was around.
Well, Expo wasn't built for your schedule, Don.
That is very true. But whose schedule is it built for? Like, I just mentioned three parties.
Almost nobody at this point, yeah.
There's three free parties I went to that all had their ups and downs. But, I mean, Pinball Life, that's a home run if you just want to go play some pinball. I don't know. I don't know who Expo is for anymore. There's no big reveals. People are doing it wherever. There should be like a big industry in that city, but it's just Stern, and Stern didn't really reveal anything. I guess the LE, but they only brought one for 2 hours. Whatever. And I didn't play in the tournament, which the tournament like blocks the whole main walkway. I guess they said there's no other room they can do it in. I think they could maybe do it in the free play room, but then they couldn't monitor people going in to play games in the hallway. Whatever, I don't know. It's not my job to fix Expo, but you didn't miss it if you didn't go this year.
Oh, I didn't.
I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. There's still, if you were able to go the whole time and you weren't interested in the other stuff and you didn't spend most of the day at the art museum, then it was probably fine. It's just when you've been to things like Texas and Rocky Mountain, that's more the kind of feeling I like. And it's not, everything's not priced out all piecemeal. That felt really shitty. Like, if you're going to pay $25, just go see the seminars too. What's the difference?
Well, They've never had an issue with seminar attendance at the other shows when Free Play stays open.
Yeah. Is that the thing? Like, they want people to go to the seminars?
I think it's to encourage that, yes.
When I went, last time I went in 2010, I went to, like, every seminar. Some seminars, there's, like, 8 people there. There was, like, 2 or 3 that, you know, 100 people would show up for. But the seminars in Texas, there were way more people at all of them than at Expo. I mean, yeah. They just, why would you limit your audience? There was stuff I would have liked to see, but I wasn't going to pay $60 to see it. That would have been more bodies in that room. I don't know. I don't run an event, so send your hate mail, whatever. Hell, I don't know what I'm talking about. I feel like there's a lot of backlash for that. There's backlash about Expo, then there's backlash about the backlash.
You lose if you don't criticize it, because they're like, how could you go there and then not say what the issues are, Don? You homer? And then if you say something, you're just a whiner.
If I was the cool kid who knew, you know, all my friends there playing in the tournament, it might have been different. And I heard that, like, Nate was saying one of the pin golf tournaments was at 7 in the morning. Which, if the game room's open till 6 in the morning,
yeah.
wouldn't you be asleep then if you really wanted to play pins all night? And if not, who are the people playing pins all night? If you're, I don't understand who it's for.
I don't know.
So I ran into, like I said, Eric and Jess, his wife Jess, a couple times, yep. But I didn't really see anybody else. I saw Ryan Clater in passing. I saw Tommy at that party. I never did see Joe. I don't know if. I saw Nate Shivers running through. I know he couldn't stay very long. I didn't meet Tony. I don't know if he was there. Tony from the Coinbox podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like I knew a lot of the people there, but not in real life, only in Facebook. So, yeah. On the way back, I did drive back through Indiana, and I stopped by Tommy's house, though, in Lafayette. And yeah, it was
fun. Top shelf them, right?
You topped what? You
top shelf his toilet.
I dry docked it.
Good job.
I saw my Congo.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. Tommy ended up with my Congo like 2,000 miles away, which is a cute little story. That's how I met Tommy, is I emailed him saying, hey, that's my Congo. And so that was kind of weird to play it again. It looked a lot nicer than I remembered. And I pointed out some stuff that I had done to it. And I said, oh, did you get these spare parts? This had 3 sets of slingshots when I sold it. It's like, no, it didn't come with any extra slingshots. It didn't even come with the apron I had John Trudeau autograph. So all that stuff got skimmed before Tommy ended up with it. But anyway, that was cool. We played America's Most Haunted. Tommy kicked my ass on all the games we played. And I could only stay for like a half hour because it was really right in the middle of my trip home. Trying to get back before dark. But it was cool. Tommy's a great guy. And I met his girlfriend, whose roommate went to high school right near me here in Albuquerque. Yeah, small world.
Pinball world.
They asked if I knew her.
Yeah, pinball streams.
Yeah, the pinball world. They asked if I knew her. And I said, oh, well, what year did she graduate? And they said, 2007. I said, oh, nope, she was 9 when I graduated. So did not know her. Made me feel really old. So there you go.
So you went to Pinball Expo. You made people feel old. And
I spent almost no money and played almost no pinball.
Cool.
Yeah. But go check out that art museum because it's sweet.
Oh, yeah. Go see all the source of parody.
Yes. The coolest thing I saw there was a lock that was like crafted over the course of 7 years. It was this very intricate lock, and it looked like it told the story of Snow White and the 7 Dwarves. It was pretty sweet. Yeah.
That's the coolest thing?
That was the coolest thing. No, it was really cool. It was an awesome museum, but this clock, or this lock was pretty sweet, man. I'll have to like look it up now. It would have been cool if they put price tags on everything there. You know, oh, American Gothic, $6 million, or I don't know how much it is. But no, they don't do that.
Oh. Well, that's good. Sounds okay. Like an eventful trip, just not pinball eventful.
I promised the worst expo recap on the internets, and I think I was able to provide that. I played less pinball than I can. I have more fingers than games of pinball I played. That includes the carpentry accident back in junior high. That probably didn't make any sense. Okay, we have to up, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I forgot to talk. I forgot to give props to Rob McLarge from credit.pinball.com on our last show. He recorded with us two episodes ago talking about roller games, and we received so many emails about, oh my gosh, that was such a great episode, so in-depth. I love roller games. I love all the facts. I'm a huge roller games fan, and even I learned stuff from that episode. Lots of comments like that. So thanks again, Rob. Did you see his notes? He posted a picture of the notes he took about roller games to talk about on the show. It was like volumes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So great guest. And thanks to Matt Hansen on the last episode. I don't think he took any notes, but it was a lot of fun to talk to him. And we got to talk about Zen, something that's been on our minds a lot this week, which we'll talk about in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks to all of our guests ever. So a couple we effed ups. Brendan Flemmer wrote in. He said he wanted to address the Australia comments on the podcast being gun-free. Even though Australia has a strict ban on guns, they still have shootings. As a matter of fact, the day after the Oregon shooting, Australia also had a shooting. So, gun-free only means gun-free for the law-abiding. Yeah, sorry. I wasn't trying to diminish the gun violence in Australia. It sucks everywhere.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. It's much tighter there, though. And Kayla wrote in, we had talked about games that started multi-ball right away.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen that in a while. She brought up Judge Dredd. If you play a super game, you get a constant multi-ball.
Yes, you do.
Definitely worth mentioning. So thank you, Kayla. As an aside, Game of Thrones has a video mode. We talked about the last video mode being on Elvis.
Yeah, and then I haven't seen it.
America's Most Haunted. It looks like ass. But it does have a video mode. It's two little stick figures sword fighting. I did not play it, but I did see some guy playing it. And hopefully it'll look better eventually. It's cool that it's there. It looks kind of like not quite as nice as the video mode on Medieval Madness. But similar. It looks like Nidhogg.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the game?
Nidhogg,
yeah.
Yeah, the little sword fighting stick figure game. Yeah.
Yes. So two listeners will understand that reference. But that is what it looks like. We also got a comment here from Henny. He said, on the Pinball Arcade, on Steam, each season is $27.99. And at the moment, they have four complete seasons, so it's $112.
Okay.
So... cool.
It's worth it, I think.
Yeah,
it's just, it sounds like
60 tables.
Yeah, in one big lump, it sounds like a lot. It sounds like quite a bit, but.
Yeah. We know they're, you know what you're getting with Pinball Arcade. You can always play demos first if you're not sure what you're getting. And yeah, $112 isn't bad. Okay, and Levi Montoya wrote in. He said that location episode in episode 66 we were talking about, was it the Atomic Arcade, Jeff?
Yes, it was.
There you go. He said that the Black Knight 2000 is actually the game that got him into pinball at that Atomic Arcade. He also said, heads up for SLC... excuse me, this might be called Twist in SLC in Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Or it might be called Salt Lake City Twist?
It's a sulk. Yeah, no, you're right.
Sulk Twist.
No.
T-W-Y-S-T.
Yeah, Twist in Salt Lake City, yes.
Yes. They have a Playboy, South Park, Monster Bash, Scared Stiff, and Sopranos. And there's also a place called Campfire Lounge. They've got Fishtails, Doctor Who, Adam's Family, and Flintstones. So thanks to the location report from Salt Lake City. Be cool if we knew someone in that area.
I know.
Who would give us location reports, but
well, listeners, if you could help us check that out, that would be great.
That would be great. Does Lee listen? Send him that
way. He does.
Oh, he does. What's up, Lee? And a special shout out to Wontwa. He just wrote in to say, "I got and appreciated the Pixies reference."
Oh, nice.
Which you and Matt didn't, and left me looking like a douche. Douche. Okay. So news. We talked all about Zen Pinball on our last episode, and the day it went up, they announced Bob's Burgers Pinball was coming to Zen. And we had mentioned Family Guy back in July. And then a couple days after that, they mentioned American Dad was coming.
And
then a couple days after that, Archer, yeah. So since our last recording, all about Zen, they have released 4 tables.
That's what I said. We don't break the news. We wake the news.
We wake it, yes. So, yeah, we got Archer, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, and American Dad in the Balls of Glory set for $10 on pretty much every platform ever. They're also available as separate apps on mobile for each of the 4 tables. So have you played them, Jeff? I know. Oh, actually, I don't know why I'm asking. I know you've played them.
I have.
I saw your scores.
I have. I've played them on PSN and also on Android. No. Yes. PSN. I played them on my PlayStation 4. I actually think that they're all pretty strong tables. They're very different. Man, I'm probably most into the Archer one and the Bob's Burgers ones right now, but the American Dad one is also great. I think a lot of people are going to like Family Guy just because it's Family Guy, but I would say out of the 4, that's probably the weakest, but I just haven't put as much time into that one as the rest.
Which one? Family Guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I haven't heard what the general buzz is on it, like what people think, but they're cool tables. The Archer one's kind of funny because as the modes are building up and the quotes build on each other, it's just, for me, that of all the games represented, I think's got my favorite quotes and moments out of the show. And so I just at first liked it for that reason, but I've got to really dig in deeper on them. But they're fun. Yeah, they did a good job on it. I think the Bob's Burgers one looks really cool for some reason. There's just something about the look of it that I really like, and the music. I don't know. It's just a fun package. But I think
That one has the most animation, I think.
Yeah.
It's most nicely animated.
It's most alive. I think from what I've heard on the early buzz of the American Dad one's the one that people are kind of leaning towards. Is that right? Is that kind of what you've seen as well? Or
I have seen that pop up a lot, but I think it might just be Joe Zinkus, who I think is a big American Dad fan.
Oh, yeah, he likes that one?
I think. Yeah, it's the feeling I get. I kind of was disappointed by all 4 tables.
Really? I kind of liked them all.
Yeah. I think they all kind of play the same. They all kind of look the same. The layout's not necessarily, but it's all like each ramp is like spell Meg, spell.
Okay, that's whatever, what I'm going to say. Rules-wise, they're very much.
They're very the
hit,
same.
Hit the spell. Like.
Uninspired.
The danger zone.
Hey, yes, danger zone, but Woodhouse. The Archer layout, I personally don't really like. You've got that upper flipper that doesn't really do anything, and then you got that card just like blocking that whole area of the playfield. And all the I'm just knocking down everything you just said. I don't mean to do that.
No, go for it.
And each game, it just like throws quotes out that don't mean anything. The worst one is American Dad because the quotes are so long.
I don't know like, American Dad enough to know what the quotes meant. I just thought that was the modes and stuff were kind of cool.
Oh, I don't know them either. But there's one that Roger says. He's like, "You'll be leg man and I'll be wig or something." He just says it like over and over.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know.
Every time you hit the
to.
Scoop, I'm like, I don't care. I don't even know what that means. And you say it too long, and it's just too long of a quote. It's like a 10-second quote. A lot of the quotes don't have anything to do with pinball. They just are there. I think you're right. Bob's Burgers and American Dad are probably the strongest layouts. And Bob's Burgers does feel maybe the most fleshed out. It actually has a video mode, which is kind of cool. You're like walking through a taffy factory in like a first person mode. If you, I found the taffy monster, and that got me like 5 million points. I think your score is still above mine, but that was a huge bump. I don't know. It's kind of cool. They all look all right, but they also look kind of cluttered, except for Archer. Archer doesn't look cluttered. Family Guy look, and American Dad look super cluttered. There's just text and images everywhere. I felt like they just kind of half-assed all of them to get them out together. Whereas, like, the Star Wars Rebels or Ant-Man or something, they're not perfect, but they just felt a lot more fleshed out.
Did you trigger, like, the, what is it, American Dad or Archer that has the little tilt control shooting scene? Or they probably both do. Yeah, they both have Archer. Them. I think American Dad does it, too. But I had it was really weird, like, it was kind of a timing thing mixed with an aiming thing. I had a hard time nailing it down at first, and then I got a little bit better at it towards the end. But that was a little bit weird. I was wondering how that would play on some other devices. Like the PS4, I mean, it tilts very easy with that controller. So I'd like to see it. What are you playing on?
I'm playing on PS4 and on Vita.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
mostly PS4.
I haven't loaded up on Vita. I love how the console versions look of all these digital pinball stuff, but it's widescreen. And
yeah,
the top of the table just is so small. I mean, I have a 61-inch TV, and it's still small at the top of the table. So
what view do you use? Do you know?
View 1, I can't see enough, so I switched to like 2 or 3. The one that's the first one that pulls out a little bit. I don't know. I'll need to play with more views, I guess.
There's one wide. I always switch to 6. I was playing on 5 for a long time, but 6 will pull out, but it'll zoom into the top when the ball's up in the top. I think 5 just changes the perspective so you can, like, your head looks up when you're in the back of the playfield, but 6 actually zooms up there.
I'll have to play around with it a little bit more. It's less of an issue like on a phone where it's vertical, or a tablet and you can turn it vertical.
That makes sense.
But, you know, it's cool. I thought in the Archer one though, like some of the, it takes a little while to trip some of the modes, but some of the modes when you got into them were actually pretty fun. Some of the car trunk modes were cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Juggling the grenades.
Yeah, some of that stuff. I liked the quotes about the ants and the danger zone stuff, because that's funny. I just, obviously that's a thing that's probably going to run its course and stop being so cute, but we'll see. I don't know. I actually did enjoy them, but I kind of hadn't been playing a lot of digital pinball lately, so maybe I just was remembering how fun that was, too. So we'll see. I'll jump back into them again and give them a real
workout. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you nailed it. I think they're good fan service tables.
Oh, definitely.
If you're a fan of Archer, you're going to get it. I haven't seen enough Archer, so like I don't get what they're talking about. I didn't even know what Woodhouse was for a while, but I guess he's like
the butler
or something. Okay. I don't know. I need to watch more cartoons.
You need to watch more Archer.
Everybody says that.
Have you watched any?
I like the show. Yeah, I've seen all of season 1, I think. And then random episodes here and there. I like it. I'm not... If I watch anything, I immediately forget everything about it when it's over. TV or movies, whatever it is. I'm not a good quotes guy.
I'm not one that's just going to sit and drop quotes. Once in a while, I will recognize a quote or say, hey, that's also from X, Y, or Z, but no, I'm not.
Maybe that's why I like the Butters table. I understood all the stuff on the Butters table from South Park.
Yeah.
When you mentioned something else that it's hard to get modes going. One problem I have with Archer is there's like no modes at all. Like you really have to just hit something a bunch of times till something starts. When you start the game, there's nothing to, like, really shoot for.
Yeah, I don't know. It does feel a little aimless, I guess. I don't know. I think it's just, like, that's what I meant by it takes a little while to get things triggered. And then once things get triggered, you're like, okay, cool.
You gotta dig in. There is also a video mode on Family Guy by hitting Stewie. He's on the far left, and I'm really bad at those far shots. I do like that far shot on the right of Bob's Burgers, that loop that loops around to the upper playfield. I think that's the only way to get to that upper flipper. And it's nice that it kind of like pauses like roller games. It stops the ball, then tells you it's coming before you can shoot that upper loop. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're not just losing the ball without twitch reflexes.
Yeah. Did you start that mode in Bob's Burger when it like starts the fire and stuff like that? I mean, there's some cool stuff. Yeah, there's some cool stuff in that.
Yeah, there's that, but then there's also the mold one, which is basically the exact same thing. And then like Family Guy, there's the Roger one, which is the exact same thing. And then there's like a Disco Roger one, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
I did like the skill shot on American Dad, where you're actually controlling one of the characters on the table, and he like karate chops the ball. You have to hit the launch button after launching the ball to make him karate chop the ball at the right time. It's hard to get the timing down. Yeah, but
I couldn't quite figure it out, but I'll go.
It's because his figure is like further into the playfield, so you don't really, unless you're looking for it, you don't, I didn't even notice it for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I just probably didn't notice it.
I wish the callouts went with the modes so that I wouldn't have to try and look at the DMD while I'm playing. Like, I wish it would tell me, shoot for this, or, you know, hit the clown spinner in Simpsons or whatever. Okay, I'm done complaining about Zen tables. They're not bad. For $10, you can't go wrong. I just wish they were. Had a little longer to bake.
Yeah.
All right. Pinball Arcade. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, I think, came out Friday. I got an email about it, so it's probably out.
I saw the little alert, but I haven't had a chance to look at that. I've had a lot going on, so I will this week.
And I'm waiting for the Vita version. So in 6 months, I'll be playing that Halloween table right around Easter. But they also launched an open beta for their new user interface on PC. So they have instructions up on their site. I can put them in the show notes too, if I remember. But basically in their preferences, you can change to trying the beta. I guess it's kind of ugly, but it's a lot easier to pick your tables. It basically, in the screenshots I've seen, it looks like how Zen does it, like a grid of tables instead of having a big reel of tables to sort through.
Yeah.
Which could be good.
Yeah, but definitely better.
I noticed on, I think it's on the Xbox One, Zen put the tables into folders. But on the PS4, it's just the big grid again. I really like the folder idea. It's like there's a Star Wars folder, a Marvel folder. The icons are much larger because you're just going through a folder with 10 games in it instead of 60 games. Anyway, so when Farsight uploaded this new PC stuff, they left an open resource folder in public view. So they people have noticed folders for the following games. So they're probably working on these games for Pinball Arcade soon. No Fear, which would match the clue that they posted for next month. Judge Dredd, TX Sector, Hurricane, Alvin G. Soccer, and Rescue 911.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. I like all those games. Yeah. It's weird to see soccer in there, but we'll see. I don't know. Cool. They are running out of... there's three licensed games right there, so they're running out of non-licensed games.
Yeah, maybe a new Kickstarter will be coming soon for another license.
I don't know. If they have No Fear and Judge Dredd, if they want to start getting those smaller licenses, like the Black Widow to do Sharky Shootout.
Who do you think owns the No Fear license?
Mossimo? I don't know.
Stussy?
The guy that
Janko Jeans
painted it on his roof. Yeah. What was that? Hurricane Andrew or something? Where did No Fear came from?
I don't know.
Do you remember that? Like a guy, he painted it on his roof during the floods, and that's where it came from.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember it all of a sudden being on every shirt, everywhere in junior high. That No Fear, and then Big Johnson's. Then if a teacher saw you, you had to turn it inside out.
Right. Second place is first loser. Yeah. No Fear. What an odd license, but there you go. I guess it wouldn't be odd to see a monster-themed game, right? Monster energy drinks?
No, I mean, that would probably fly.
Same kind of thing. All right, we had a keep flip part out.
Oh yeah, this was clever. But let's go.
This is a good one. This is from Mitchell Curtis. He brought up the Data East, great theme, not great game edition. Back to the Future, RoboCop, and TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, I think I know which way you're going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep the Turtles because it's just purely because it's Turtles. I'll flip the Back to the Future. I actually knew someone who had a home use only Back to the Future. And it was, I mean, it's okay. It's not terrible. It's not great. It's just a game. And then I'd part out that RoboCop, I guess. Maybe I'd convert it into a Robert Cop. So.
Robert Cop would be badass.
I know. So.
What game had that dragnet back glass? Remember?
Yeah,
it was like Funhouse or something. Was it Taxi? It was a game that had nothing to do with Dragnet, but some Spanish company put a Dragnet backlash in it.
Sergeant, is it Joe Webb or Jack Webb?
I don't remember. Yeah, it wasn't even the TV show. It was the movie, the Tom Hanks movie. I would keep RoboCop because of the theme, and I don't know, it plays all right. I think the not great game edition is accurate. TMNT is probably the best playing of the three.
Yeah. It's a lot like the Simpsons Data East game.
Yeah.
With a pizza spinner.
Yeah. Either way, I'd keep RoboCop. I'd probably flip the Back to the Future and I'd part out the Ninja Turtles. I'd keep the art pieces, or I'd sell all the parts to you and you could basket case it back together. Back to the Future, I think Juan was looking for one of those for a while.
Maybe.
He could pick it up. I really like the wire rails on that, how they made them two-tone.
Yeah.
They go from yellow to pink or orange or whatever. Did you celebrate this week, Back to the Future Day?
I saw a DeLorean on the freeway on my way to work, and that was awesome.
I saw that.
Yeah, I was like, wait, cool. Whoa. I mean, obviously that's why the guy was driving it, but just to see it, it kind of warmed my heart a little bit.
Yes.
Other than that, I think I listened to Back in Time and watched the Power of Love skateboard scene. And I watched the outtakes from Back to the Future, which are funny.
Good times.
And then my wife and I talked about maybe we should watch them, and then we did not watch them. So.
Right. I think everyone owns that DVD box set, and like 6 people have ever opened it.
Well, I had to because my wife hadn't seen them.
Wow. I'm pretty sure my wife has seen them. It actually had really good special features. When it came out, I watched all the special features. Like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, DVDs are old now, man.
I know.
Like 17, 18 years old.
They're basically Laserdisc now.
Yeah. Wow. Mitchell Curtis, he also asked which title deserves a modern reboot from Stern or Jersey Jack.
Of those three, right?
Yeah. It's got to be TMNT, right?
I think so. Like the Nickelodeon series one would be great.
It's got new appeal to kids. It's got old appeal to people like us. There's a lot you can do with the playfield. I'd love to see a RoboCop. And I actually liked the new movie. It's not that bad as the rap it got. But it wasn't very, interesting.
I know I'm a mega fan. I still haven't watched the new one, so.
Oh, you got to see it. It's definitely worth watching.
I will. I'm so bad about seeing movies. Like, there's so many movies I want to see and I'm behind on, and I'm just terrible at it.
Stop being terrible at things.
I try and not see movies without my wife, but the problem is that it's so hard for both of us to be able to sit down at the same time and watch one.
Right. But especially if it's something the kids can't watch.
Yeah. I mean, we could watch like Star Wars or something like that, make that happen, but.
My kids watch a lot of Ink Masters. Ink Master?
Yeah. Ink Master.
Just because we know that they can. I got into the Doom Alpha and I waited for the kids to take a nap before I played it. And then it was a multiplayer, so it wasn't even really that bad. Lots of shooting, though. But no demons. Cool story, bro.
The coolest of stories.
Yes.
So we both agree, TMNT?
Yeah, TMNT. Nobody needs a Back to the Future reboot pin. There could be cool ones, but that's the least interesting of the three. Okay. We're good?
I think we are good. Good?
I'm sure we're missing something.
I know. I can't shake that feeling. I was actually just looking through my emails right now. I'm like, is there something I was going to... I'll remember after.
I put out about 100 of our decals at Expo on the, like, sticker table.
Yes.
I put out 50 the first night or whatever, Saturday night, and then 50 Sunday morning. And they were all gone by Sunday morning, the 50 I put there. So I don't know, somebody just grabbed the stack and threw them out.
Some guy who fell asleep first at a party woke up completely covered with Pinball Podcast stickers.
Yes. There were a lot of other stickers on that table that were still there that next morning. Stacks of color DMD decals and stuff. But I don't know. I did get a copy of the new Pinball Magazine issue 3.
Oh, cool.
And I only read a little bit of it so far, but, you know, if you like the other ones, you'll like this one too. I think that was it. Just that and those posters.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you have spread the sticker love.
Yes. I figured that's the best way to release them. Lots of people standing around in the hallway, not actually being able to play pinball, so... good audience. Oh, and also, have you seen that big Flintstones game? It's not Hercules size, but close.
I've seen some pictures of it. I haven't seen a lot of detail about it.
It's they had one of those behind Hercules in the hallway, and I had never seen one in person. I'd only seen pictures, so I was excited to try it. And the flipper bats are large. They're maybe 6 inches big, but they're backwards. So the fat part is towards the center. And the tip of the flipper is where it pivots.
Okay.
So it looks like a club.
Like Bam Bam's club?
Like Bam Bam's club. And the ball is a steel ball, but it's really big. It's like probably bigger than a golf ball, or around the size of a golf ball. But every damn time the ball was stuck on something. Every single time I went over there, the ball is either stuck in the trough. It like doesn't have a trough underneath. It just has like... over the top trough that the ball's supposed to roll down to get back to the shooter lane. It gets stuck in there and I'd shake the hell out of it and it wouldn't move. Or like it has these little houses that you shoot it into and it always gets stuck in the house. Like every time I went, it was stuck in that house except for the first time when it was stuck in the trough. And I just shook the hell out of it and it just rolls around in there. So I was pushing start and stuff. I thought maybe it kicks it out or something, but nope.
Interesting. That sounds like it's maybe needing some addressing.
Yes. Needs a little service. I did play Hercules. That game still sucks. I don't know why I even bother playing it anymore.
It's just waiting, the pinball game.
Yes. And I noticed that the spinner never actually spins. It just waves back and forth when you hit it. I never once saw it flip all the way over.
It's more of a... like a
gate.
Yeah, it's kind of like the dryers of when you come out of a car wash.
Yeah, it was I don't remember what I was saying. I lost my train of thought. Oh, it's as big as a playing card, so I think it's just too big and heavy. It reminded me that on one of the Zen tables, I think it was Bob's Burgers, the ball gets stuck behind the friggin' spinner all the time. Like, you shoot the skill shot, if you full plunge, it'll, like, get stuck behind the flipper or the spinner for a second and then come out.
Oh, okay. I saw that. I couldn't tell what was causing that.
Yeah, just the spinner doesn't
comes out left side, yeah.
Yeah. Did it every time. Whatever. Oh, and another thing. I noticed on the Vita, once I got a high score and I put in my initials, I could keep playing different tables or the same table. I wouldn't have to put in my initials again. It would just remember them. But on the PS4, I was complaining about it last time. It wouldn't remember them. And I think on Ant-Man, it wouldn't remember. So I don't... what's the difference? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I had to re-enter my initials every time. Lame. Okay. So there's our show. We basically just complained for 90 minutes.
Yeah, that was good. The old man podcast.
That's right. If you have questions, comments, anything else, solicitations, send it to pinballpodcast@gmail.com. You're welcome to message us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, Pinball Podcast. I don't know. I guess I don't. They're harder to dig through. Facebook is especially hard to dig through. And the Pyrocast guys, I did not see at Expo either. I basically just didn't see anybody at Expo. Except I got my picture taken with Ryan Claytor.
You didn't see anybody and play anything?
I took a picture of Joe Zinkus, the back of Joe's head.
Yeah.
And I took a picture with Ryan. Todd Moore actually took the picture. Do you know Todd?
I don't.
I bet you would recognize his Pinside avatar. It's a guy drinking a beer. It's him drinking a beer. T.A. Moore, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
So Ryan introduced me to him, and I was trying really hard to remember names because I'm so bad with names. And I was like, okay, Dwayne. The guy's name is Dwayne. So when we were leaving, I saw his picture on his badge, his Pinside picture. I was like, oh, I know you. I just didn't know T.A. Moore was Dwayne. And he's like, my name's Todd. Like, oh, well, who the hell's Dwayne? Where did I get this Dwayne name from? I tried so hard to remember this guy's name was Dwayne, and his name was Todd the whole time. Anyway, really nice guy. It's nice to have met him as well. Good story. I'm full of good stories tonight. All right.
Cool story, bro.
We'll be back in a couple weeks with some sort of featured machine or featured five.
We'll have a show.
A little bit more of a show than this one. There's so many podcasts now, you don't need us anymore.
We could call this one episode 67, Crappy Waldorf and Stouffer episode. Really not funny, Waldorf and Stouffer.
Yes. Also, no Maverick at Expo. What in the hell? Although I did, Eric sent me a picture of a Maverick backlast for sale for $20, or a Translite rather. And I found the topper there for $20, brand new. No, I did not buy either of them.
You could have started piecing together your own game and done what that guy did with the Medieval Madness, but with Maverick.
I could have. That'd be a story. Oh, we even got a yawn in this episode.
Perfect.
Ooh. We're hitting all our marks. Bam, bam. Did my nose whistle into the mic at all?
I didn't hear one, but
we need that.
But I will try to make sure that it does not get cut out in the noise reduction passing.
I got to get some mouse clicks in there, too. Okay, I think we're good.
Okay, yeah.
All right, whatever. Check us out. Check out niftyled.com. Check out measlemods.com. And, yeah, have a week. We'll talk to you soon. Love you.